can never succeed in life without building healthy, successful relationships. We're looking at building successful relationships. How many of you, if you were to really assess your relationships, beginning firstly with your primary relationship, that's with your father, your mother, or as spouses, your children, how well do those relationships work? How successful have you been in building relationships with those primary relations? Think about that. Now I want you to think about a relationship that maybe in the year, last year or two, that has failed. You no longer communicate. You no longer talk to that person, or the very sight or sound of their name gives you chills down your spine. Life depends on our relationships, and so it's so important that we must learn how to build healthy and build successful relationships. Now, my subject title today is Anchored in Christ. An old sea captain was quizzing a young naval student. What steps would you take if a sudden storm came up on the starboard? Captain here can help us with that. He replied, "I would throw out an anchor, sir." "What would you do if another storm sprang up again?" asked the captain. "Oh, I'd throw out another anchor, sir." "But what if a third storm came up? What would you do?" "Oh, captain, I would just throw out another anchor." "Wait a minute," said the captain. "Where in the world are you getting all those anchors from?" The young man replied, "From the same place you're getting all those storms." Personal storms and crises have a way of showing up unexpectedly. The person without some anchors can get blown away very easily. The best anchors that God has given us on this earth are dependable relationships, stable, loving families, a church home, a personal relationship with the one who is bigger than any storm we could ever, ever encounter. And I believe that we all need these anchors and this foundation. But the real test of our relationship is when, in times of crisis, are we willing to be an anchor? There is a friend, the Bible says, who sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. I want you to think about this and write this down. You can never succeed in life without building healthy, successful relationships. I'll say that again. You can never succeed in life without building healthy, successful relationships. Think about how far you've got thus far. What relationship in some way has connected you, has helped you to connect or network in some way to help you to take a step further in a goal that you have been seeking to achieve? I'm going to hand out some handouts that you can take notes with as we go along. I'm going to use the passage of Philippians chapter 2 as a base for looking at what a successful relationship should be like. If you've gotten anything at all in Philippians chapter 2, this is from the Message Bible. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life, if you have a heart, if you care, then Paul says, do me a favor, agree with each other, love one another, be deep-spirited friends, don't push your way to the front, and don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourself the same way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he would cling to the advantages of the status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of the deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. The worst kind of death at all, a crucifixion. And the Bible says because of that obedience and that lifestyle, God exalted him. For many of us, we look to family to be the primary anchor or foundation. We sometimes look at our finances or our abilities, our dreams, our hopes. But all those things are like wind and chaff. They can be easily blown away. But the Bible encourages us, and we learn through experience in life, that we must have our hope, our anchor, our foundation set in God and God alone.
Right.
Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16 says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. And so the Word of God and the character of God and who God is must be the foundation, primary anchor-based relationship that we need to base our life on. Proverbs 10:25 says, but the godly has a lasting foundation. We see the story of Job, how one man who lost everything, everything that he held dear to, was left only with the single anchor in his life, his relationship with God. And in the worst of his crises, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
Out of the crisis and out of the nothingness of his life, he said, I believe because I have a hope in God that he can redeem something even out of seemingly nothing. When our lives are anchored in Christ, our lives have a foundation, a sure foundation that is able to accommodate other relationships, and it becomes a starting point for us to build healthy and successful relationships. You see, unless our foundation is based on Christ and our security is in Him, then everything else is uncertain. And when everything else is uncertain, you are uncertain. And when you are uncertain, everything around you becomes uncertain. So what does a successful relationship look like? A successful relationship, I want you to write this down, is one that is Christ-centered and purposed. Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
Christ-centered and purposed. It is a relationship that achieves great things, where the relationship or bond is much bigger than the sum of itself. The relationship is never self-seeking, but always giving, and never exclusive at the expense of others, but it is engaged, life-giving, vibrant, steadfast, and it's stable. And it exists for much more than just itself, but also for the benefit of others. Let me break that down. It is Christ-centered and purposed. Christ is the anchor of your successful relationships.
Amen.
Whether it is with people who follow Jesus Christ or whether it is with people who do not. Christ must be the center of whatever relationship you seek to establish. It must be purposed. Many of us just have relationships to have relationships. We have friends, we have companions. I want to encourage you to look at your relationships and say, if I am going to invest X amount of time and money and effort and energy into something, if I'm going to invest in this relationship, don't ask the question, what am I going to get out of it? But if I am giving all this in, what is it going to produce in this lifetime? How many more drinks can I have with someone who's half drunk and believe that is a good investment? How much more time can I spend Facebooking, Twittering, just watching aimless television with guys who have nothing to do when those relationships do not purpose themselves at all? I'm not suggesting you throw them out of your circle of influence, but I'm challenging you to look at the relationships and say, will this relationship lead me and cause me to be successful in what my life is focused to do? Come on.
That's right.
You have one life to live. Live it well. Some other hallmarks of successful relationships. There is mutual respect for one another. There are common shared values where you believe the same things. You value the same things. You have shared values. Another important hallmark is that you believe in each other. I tell you, how many of us engage with people who don't believe in you? What are you doing? That is an abusive relationship. If you are in a relationship where somebody does not believe in you, you are setting yourself up to be abused. Because if they don't believe in you, they believe in themselves. If they believe in themselves, they will want to promote themselves above you. Come on. There should be happiness and laughter in our relationships. By God, God wants us. That's why He gave us humor. That's why He gave us the ability to laugh. We've got to have a smile on our face. We need to learn to enjoy and have fun in our relationships. I remember there was a time in when I first came to Christ, to smile and to joke was a bad thing. It was considered unholy. And you looked holy when you looked constipated. I'm worshiping Jesus. Eyes closed. That was holiness. That was righteousness. And if you made a funny thing, it was, my God, humor is something that God gave us. Laughter is something that God wants to hear. God laughs. Surely if He laughs, you must.
Amen.
Now what you laugh at is a different thing. But laugh at the right things. There's so much. Come on. Everyone, we just put a smile on your face right now. It looks so much better.
That's right.
Honesty. There needs to be honesty in our relationships. There must be a value for each other. Not because of what you can do for me, but simply because of who you are. Because God created you. There should be openness about our expectations. Able to disagree and not fall out because we disagree. You can hold a completely opposing opinion on something. And I should still be able to walk with you. Because there are other more important things that hold us together.
That's right.
I mean, should I wear a scarf in church? Should I not? Oh no, we can't be friends because you don't believe. That is not a doctrinal issue, for God's sake. That's how you dress. And God is not worried about how you dress. He's more worried about what's on the inside of you.
Right.
An inclusiveness and embracingness in your relationship. A willingness to invest in one another. Expectations are realistic and mutually shared. Review and evaluate and should be willing to make adjustments. I mean, I could go on and on, but you could do this as well. Evaluate some of the hallmarks of healthy relationships. Here's the thing about relationships. It takes work. My relationship with my wife, we've been married for over 25 years. We have known each other for over 30 years plus. Isn't that right?
Amazing.
And it takes work, doesn't it, Yumi? I mean, my wife works out at the gym. I work out at home, hand to mouth. But it takes work to work through our relationship, through work through the challenges, through work through the difficulties, the crises. We've got to work at it. Have you noticed successful relationships don't just happen, they don't just evolve? If they do, perhaps that's the very reason why some of your relationships are the wreck that they are. Because if you just allow every wind and every thing that comes across to just determine where your relationship goes and what it does, you're going to be tossed around on a sea. Successful relationships take work. We have to intentionally and willfully build them. They require investments of time, emotional energy, tears and fears, wants and needs, and money and so much more. Dreams and loads of ice cream if you like it. But those are the things that we need to share in our relationships. There is a universal fact. Real success, the kind that exists on multiple levels, is impossible without building healthy and great relationships. Real success is impossible unless you treat other people with kindness, regard, and respect. I think we sometimes lose sight of those simple qualities. I want to talk about three things. Your inner core. is the things that really matter to you. What are the things that really matter to you? What are the things that you wake up for, that you live for? Let me suggest something. You can add your own list because you're going to have a chance to do that. I think one of the things that really matter to me is to be a giving person. I mean, we all love receiving, but how much more should we be learning to give? Amen. We've got to learn to be generous. We need to learn to be grateful. We need to learn to be gracious. These are some of the values that I hold on to and that we hold on to in our life. And the foundation of that value is based in Christ and on Christ. A godliness in who we are and what we believe and what really matters to us. A person who builds great relationships doesn't think about what they want. You need to start by thinking about what you can give. Come on. Come on. How many of us look at people and say, oh, he's nice, she's good. What can I get out of him or her? Now, you may not say that to yourself, but we are preconditioned because of the way we are to first hope that out of some relationship, a need will be met. And if a need is being met, you will go to that place where your need is met. But I want to challenge you, in as much as all of us have needs, we need to come to a place of maturity in our relationships where our needs don't drive the determining, are not the determining factors of how and where we build relationships. But the primary one is that I must be willing to give. You see, giving as the best way to establish a real and lasting connection. Your approach in building relationships need to be as if it's all about the other person and not about you. Assess your relationships with your spouse, with your parents, with your friends. Whose voice do you hear most of the time? Yakari, 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 yakari. Pause. Yakari, yakari, yakari. Whose voice do you hear? That's a good indication of whether you are giving or receiving. How many of you have these friends who yakari 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 yak, and you're thinking, I love you, but give me some time to say something about my day, about what's happening in my life. And before you know it, they're back to their zone. Come on. And do we give a listening ear when we give our time? Do we give financially? Do we share things with one another? You see, these are how we build healthy relationships. Your approach to building relationships needs to be as if it was all about the other person and not about you. And in the process, you build relationships with people who follow the same approach.
That's right.
You know, I've learned sometimes that we need to lead as leaders. If we believe that we are followers of Jesus Christ, that God calls us to a place of leadership. And you'll hear me say this very often when there's crises in people's relationships. You must lead in the crisis. In other words, what does it mean? You are not determined by what somebody else does. You rise up in that difficult situation and say, I am going to be Christ-like and do the right thing, even though it hurts me and pains me. Because when you lead, you are giving into that relationship in ways that you could never imagine. Can you remember the last time somebody offended you? What was your initial thought? They need to give me an... What are you asking for?
Apology.
An apology. Is that giving or is that taking? Come on.
Taking.
It's taking. But what if, whether that apology came or not, you see them the next day and you've worked through your emotions and you've cried your tears and this relationship is so much more important than anything else. You stand up and you receive them, irrespective of whether that apology comes or not. Come on. It is such a liberating thing to do for you because that relationship is so important. The second one is your character. Who you are is defined by what you do. So often, watch how somebody lives. Watch their relationships. See how they treat people who are less fortunate than them. See how they treat people that they have authority over. That's a great indication of what the values are for that person. See how they treat other people's property. That's a good indication of how they will treat you. My God, if any girl is looking to marry a guy, don't worry about how he treats you. Just look at how he treats his parents. That's a good indication of how he will treat you. He can treat you with songs and roses and chocolates when all the going's good. But watch how he handles his primary relationships. Watch how he handles the relationships in the home. Because those are indication ultimately of who he is. Because they see him or her at their best and worst. And so your character, you are defined by what you do. Galatians chapter 5:22, we've done a whole study on this, I won't go into it, is the character of Jesus Christ. The third thing I want to present to you is your circle of influence. So we've looked at your inner core, those things that really matter to you. The second thing we've looked at is your character, who you are. And the third thing is your circle of influence, who you will become. 3 John 1 and verse 11 says, "Dear friends, don't let this bad example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God." Now, John was not writing, in the letter of John, it was not addressed to the unbeliever. Hello? It was not addressed to those who did not follow Jesus. It was addressed to the believing saints. It said, listen, don't get mixed up in bad company. Remember, those who do good prove that they are good people. In seeking to build successful relationships, we must make sure that we never compromise our core values and never negotiate on your character. There is always a fine line between success and failure. Make sure you're never sitting on the fence of indecision. We've learned through our years, 47 years or so of being alive, how important relationships are. I can look back to years when we first went out, was in America, total strangers accepted us, received us. And I look back at how we handled those relationships. And we look back in regret. Even though we gave, we look back and say we did not give enough. There was so much more that we could have given. We could have established and maintained and kept those relationships, even though we were on different sides of the world. Right now, some of our best friends do not reside right around us. They are around the world. The world has changed. Communication has changed. Relationships evolve and build in different ways. I want you to listen to the story. We're going to close with this story. Don Wilton writes, "People quit on us when they don't feel valued." Your spouse will quit on you when they don't feel valued. There will be a breakdown in relationships within the home where we don't value one another. Friendships will collapse where you don't value one another for who they are. It says people quit on us when they don't feel valued. George and Mary Lou were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and a reporter asked George, "What's your recipe for a long, happy marriage?" George explained that after the wedding, his father-in-law handed him a package. Inside it was a gold watch that George still used. He showed it to the reporter. Across the face of the watch, where he could see it a dozen times a day, were written the words, "Say something nice to Mary Lou." We all need that watch. In his book, Blink, Malcolm Gladwell writes about a relationship expert who was able to predict the potential success of a couple's marriage based on the interaction with one another. And I think this goes not just for couples, but for every relationship. Your work relationships, your friendships, your peer relationships. What was it he looked for that indicated a relationship was headed for trouble? Do you want to know what it was?
Yes.
Contempt. Contempt. If one treated the other with contempt, the relationship was usually doomed to fail. Now, insincerity and flattery don't work. For a person to feel valued, he or she must know you genuinely value them. To feel respected, he or she must know you genuinely respect them. When we devalue others, we start treating them like objects and not people. The Bible says, let it not be so with you. For those of us who are followers of Christ, Philippians chapter 2 says, he made himself nothing, even though he was of such great stature. He emptied himself and he gave himself. I want to encourage you, as you're looking to build your life, and you will need to build relationships, I want you to assess your relationships. I've given you a piece of paper with a simple chart that will help you to analyze if you will have the time. I encourage you to take the time and look at the investments that you make. See if those are purposed or are they purposeless. Are they just fair weather friends? We're going to have one of our sessions. Our third session is Harik Friend, inspired by the Airtel ad, Zaruri Hota Hai. Next week, we're going to look at rescuing relationships. How do you repair and rescue a broken relationship? Recently, we broke a little egg cup that had been hand-painted by the kids. A little egg cup. We never swept it up and put it in the dustbin. I found the sticky stuff, whatever it's called, fix it. And every little fragment, I put it together. And it is still there. It's why? Because I valued not the egg cup, but who made it. My children had painted that little egg cup when they were 2 or 3. So the value was not determined by what it was worth, but what it was worth to me. Your relationships are determined by perceived value. If you truly value somebody, if you truly value that relationship, your perception of it must be right. Because that will determine how you treat that relationship. Be it your father, your mother, your children, your husband, your wife, your children, your peers, your work colleagues, a boss that drives you crazy, whoever it is. Father, I thank you that you have called us to a place of greatness where each of us can find fulfillment, not just through our relationship with you, but also in our relationships with one another. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to discover and journey on this journey of helping us each to build successful relationships. And where we have failed, help us to restore and repair those relationships for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.